Will the Lord be with you? Nicodemus was in the dark. He was in the dark about who Jesus was. He was in the dark about what God was up to. He came to Jesus in the dark, under the cover of night, and in the dark of confusion. You see, God was doing something new. Nicodemus could see that much, but he didn't understand, couldn't quite get his head around just what it was. And there's a bit of irony here because he was a member of the Sanhedrin. This was the supreme council that governed Jewish life and society in Jerusalem. They oversaw the temple and the religious and the internal political life of Judah. If there was any group that was supposed to be in tune with what God was up to, it was the Sanhedrin. Yet Nicodemus, illumined as he was in the dark. As readers looking back on this passage 2,000 years later, with 2,000 years of Christianity behind us, it's easy for us to be a little bit smug about how we size up Nicodemus, as if John is making him out to be a caricature who doesn't see the obvious that Jesus is the Son of God and the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But let's put this story into perspective. This may seem like a super obvious point, not worth making, but I'll make it. Christianity did not exist at the time when this story took place. Judah was a thoroughly Jewish nation. As Christianized as America is, it was nothing like the way that Judah was Judaic. Judaism permeated faith, culture, governance, politics, diet, everything. And Nicodemus was born and raised in this thoroughly Judaic way of being. He went through the Jewish equivalent of baptism and Sunday school and VBS and Bible camp. You name it, he did it. He joined a group of lay and clergy who were deeply committed to the scriptures, the Pharisees. He did all the right things. He worshiped the God of Abraham faithfully, purely, all of his life. He followed God's ways, studied the Bible, was committed to a life of prayer and discipline. He fasted. He gave his money to the temple. He no doubt wrestled with the big questions of faith. He used his gifts to serve others, currently in this story, by giving wisdom to the Sanhedrin. Nicodemus is no fool. He is not a hypocrite, at least no more than I am or any one of us are. He's not unconcerned or uninformed. Nicodemus is what we would call spiritually mature. Sounds pretty good now. Maybe you feel like you can relate to him a little more, right? Maybe you were born in the pew, as they say, raised in the church, there every Sunday morning, maybe every Sunday night. Maybe you went to the Wednesday evening prayer services and were fed on church potlucks. Perhaps you remember Sunday school and confirmation and VBS, whether as wonderful experiences or trials you were forced to endure. Maybe you remember the times when it was a sacrifice to write a check to support a missionary, or a service project, or the church budget. Perhaps you've spent more hours in prayer than you can remember, or you've read the Bible steadily for many moons. Maybe you've served on committees, or the diaconate, or the leadership team, or you've shared your testimony in worship service. You've sung in the choir or played the handbells. Maybe you will consider yourself born again, to use the language of today's passage, or If you don't like that language, maybe you think of yourself as a committed or concerned or informed Christian. And maybe if you're like me, I think there's only one of us, you went to seminary, got ordained, and pastored churches. I think Pastor Bob, you and I are the only ones holding that down today. If any of these things describes your experience, then I hope you can hear this morning just how easy it is to see ourselves as the protagonists in the story, to read the story as if from the perspective of Jesus, or maybe as a fly on the wall, but a fly that's definitely on the wall closer to Jesus than Nicodemus, right? But I submit to you that if you are a long-time committed Christian, settled and rooted in your faith, then Nicodemus is you. And Nicodemus often gets beat up by preachers. I actually want to highlight his faith this morning. At the very highest level of Jewish life, all the systems benefited him. If anyone should be motivated to keep the status quo, it was him. If anyone should be blinded by their privilege from what new thing God might be doing, it was him. And yet Nicodemus risked his reputation, his standing, and who knows, maybe even his seat on the Sanhedrin, just to go see this heretic who was causing such scandal in the temple. This is almost certainly why he went to see Jesus at night. When he finds Jesus, he doesn't even ask a question. He makes a proclamation of faith. "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs you do apart from the presence of God." And notice he says, "we," as if the Pharisees have been talking about Jesus and this thing. But only he is there. He recognizes that God is doing something new, but he's in the dark about what it is. And Jesus responds to him almost in riddles, using imagery of water and spirit and wind and birth. He says that in order to see the kingdom of God, one must be born anathen. Check your Bibles. It doesn't say that. No, this is the Greek word, and it means several different things. It can mean from the beginning, from above. It can mean again or anew. It was a really ambiguous way to explain the kingdom to Nicodemus. Each meaning full of possibility. One must be born from the beginning. Perhaps recalling how the Spirit hovered over the waters in Genesis 1 and in creation and before the Word, Christ, was spoken and creation came forth. Or one must be born from above. In the ancient Hebrew cosmology, they believed that above the sky was a layer of water, and above that layer of water was the heavens, and that's where God dwelled. So in order to be born from above, from heaven, one must pass through waters. Or perhaps one must be born again, or anew. As a child passes through the amniotic waters of birth, I know not a pleasant image, so also one is born again into the kingdom. Or just as baptism was used in the Jewish community as a sign of conversion into the faith, so one is born anew. Or as St. Paul put it, the old is gone, the new has come. Perhaps Jesus meant one of these things, perhaps all of them, or maybe he intended it to be ambiguous and confusing so that Nicodemus was still in the dark. We don't know. John doesn't tell us, and Jesus leaves us as readers a bit in the dark as well. But what is plain is that Nicodemus, though he seems to be really trying to understand, he doesn't get it. He simply says, "How can these things be?" And Jesus continues to speak ambiguously in word pictures about God's love for the world, God sending the Son. He didn't say, "And that's me," to save the world, not to condemn it. It's a wonderful passage we have here, rich with meaning, full of mystery, very frustrating at times. It should keep us always a bit perplexed. And I think in the end, Jesus is inviting Nicodemus to step out of the dark and into the light of the new thing that God is doing in Christ. And that would be very difficult for Nicodemus, because what God is doing would bring about monumental change. And he is rooted in his faith. He has always believed certain things about God and Jesus, and believed that they have to be done in a certain way. That God works in particular ways and through particular people and relationships and through particular religious structures. That always makes it difficult to see the new thing God might be doing. Well, just to put a capstone on Nicodemus's life, we see him two more times in the Gospel of John. In chapter 7, when the chief priests and Pharisees are wanting to bypass their processes in order to put Jesus to death, Nicodemus intervenes and tells the Sanhedrin that one must be tried and given a chance to speak for themselves before they are judged. And he took no small amount of heat for that. He was stepping a bit more into the light. Then when Jesus had died in chapter 19, just hours before the Passover, he took another step. He helped Joseph of Arimathea to handle Jesus' body and to prepare it for burial. In doing so, he made himself unclean for the highest holy day of the year. We get these glimpses of Nicodemus over 16 chapters in John's Gospel, and what we see suggests that he gradually took steps out of the dark and into the light of this new thing God was doing. This past week, our leadership team met, and we began to talk about change. And I imagine the collective blood pressure in the room just went up by about 10 to 15%. We talked about how society has changed. We talked about the changes our church has gone through in recent decades. We talked about the trends and changes that are happening around us, and we shared some hard prayer requests that reflect some of the changes and experiences people are having. People are more isolated than ever. Families are under tremendous stress in our shifting social and economic reality. Church attendance has been in steady decline, and many churches, not unlike our own, are closing their doors. But I have some good news. The leadership team did not pass any motion. We didn't present a strategic plan to get on top of these things as if the way to advance the kingdom of God is to take control. Instead, we agreed that we are here to embody the gospel and communicate the transformative love of God to those around us as they are, not as we want them to be, or as they used to be. And for that to happen, we must continue to change how we do church and how we do life together. And friends, I believe God is doing something new. I'd be lying to you and to myself if I stood here and told you that I was not in the dark about exactly what God is doing. But like Nicodemus, I see signs that God is at work, and I hope you do too. While people are not going to church like they used to, studies tell us that they are much more open to spiritual connection and conversation with God than ever. While people are more isolated, they are all the more responsive to the love and kindness of others. Families are carrying heavy loads, and the church has the opportunity to be a community of belonging that fulfills Jesus' promise, "Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens. Come, and I will give you rest." The Friday evening barbecues that we have planned for this summer, it's just one way that we hope to embody this good news for others in the coming year. We're hoping to say to parents, come, take a rest from the non-stop rushing to and from work and family. Take a break from figuring out who's going to get home in time to get dinner started. Lay down the burden of always having to be on. Let your kids enjoy one another on the playground while you get a chance to have some simple adult conversation. God is doing something new around us, among us, and I pray within us. And when God begins to do a new thing and we're in the dark about it, it can be scary. But this morning we have Nicodemus as a guide. I don't like to turn Bible passages into formulas, but I see four things that Nicodemus does here that can inform us as people and as a church. First, when Nicodemus was in the dark, he went to Jesus. That really is the first step when you find yourself in the dark. Go to God. Go to Jesus. The most basic way to do that is by settling yourself down in prayer and opening yourself up to hearing God's voice. What are you doing, God? What are you up to? The second thing he did, he made a proclamation of faith. We know you are from God. No one could do what you're doing without God being in it. In other words, we see that God is doing a new thing, but we're in the dark about what that is. And this confession, it keeps us focused. It keeps us away from focusing on the loss of things we've always known, and focused on the new thing that God is doing. For the church, this confession reminds us that God is not in decline, but that the transformative love of Christ must be embodied and communicated differently for each generation. The third thing, Nicodemus asked questions. Of course, that summary question, how can these things be? It demonstrates his confusion, but it also conveys a recognition that the mystery of what God is doing in this world is beyond us, that it's not something we can control. The wind blows where it chooses, Jesus told Nicodemus. And you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. We will always be a bit in the dark about what God is doing, and that means we must trust. But the question that Nicodemus asks that strikes me most is this: how can anyone be born after having grown old? See, I think there's more than sarcasm going on here, or more than confusion about literal or figurative birth going on. I think the real question Nicodemus is asking is, how can you take someone like me, having grown old in the faith, having worked for years to mature in the ways of God as I have always understand them, and then go and do something new? Can God make something new out of me? Can God make something new out of something old? Could God bring new life and vitality and creative energy to a 128-year-old church? Can we begin to embody the gospel in new ways when our bodies are mature and really used to doing things the way we've always done them? These are great questions for self-examination during the season of Lent. And I believe God can do a new thing in your life and in our life together. Do you see where Nicodemus's question opens himself up to the possibility that he might be able to change and to let go of some of the things that have so defined him in order to step out of the dark and into the light, following the Spirit into this new thing that God is doing? Last thing Nicodemus does, probably the most important thing we can learn from him, after he asks his questions, he listens. This is kind of a long passage we read, and he only says three things. First, his proclamation of faith, then his question about new birth, then his question, how can these things be? That's it. The rest is Jesus. And as he asked this last question, we watch Jesus step forward and Nicodemus sort of fade out of the story as Jesus takes it away. Perhaps there is no greater use of wisdom and maturity than this, to recognize that Christ is the one who must be out in front. Friends, when we are in the dark about what God is doing in our lives, in our church, in the world around us, can we follow the lead of Nicodemus? Seek Christ. Declare what signs you see that God is at work. Ask the big questions and explore the mystery of what God is doing. And listen. And notice that all of this reveals to us a God who is not far off out there, but who draws near to be in a loving, not condemning relationship with you. Grace and peace to you. Amen.